Good morning, Leonard.
Good morning.
Scripture reading this morning will be taken from the books of Genesis. We'll be in chapter 6. I'll be reading verses 1 through 7 of Genesis chapter 6, 1 through 7. I'll be reading from the New American Standard. This scripture deals with the corruption of mankind. Chapter 6, verse 1. Now it came about, when the men began to multiply on the face of the land, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves, whomever they chose. Then the Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with man forever, because he also is flesh. Nevertheless, his days shall be 120 years. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days. The King James uses the word giant, for speaking of people of great stature were on the earth in those days. And also afterwards, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them, those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. The Lord said, I will blot out man from whom I have created from the face of the land, from man to animals to creeping things to the birds of the sky, for I am sorry that I have made them.
So good to see everyone. Worship God in spirit and in truth. Dave, thank you for those songs. Always good to hear Dave sing. Prayer by Pam and Nikki likes those long reads. We give him those. But it's good to see everyone. We've had a good Bible study. We do have a good audience. Enjoyed the songs this morning. I'm going to start from Luke chapter 13. Fire up those little ditties, those electronic things. Get a Bible out. Watch the Bible this morning as we enter into this part of our worship service, as we reverence God by listening to His Word, by making application to His Word. Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. Let's look at verse 1. He says, Now on the same occasion there were some present who reported to him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifice. Jesus said to them, Do you suppose that these Galileans were greater sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this fate? Jesus says, I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Let me translate that into Jeff Jordan, West Virginia International Version. Jesus, we want to ask you about mass murder. And really, that's what this verse says. That's what they're asking about. Now, the Jews and Roman government, they had lots of trouble. They had lots of things that happened between them. There was an air about that was constantly in the air about revolt and revolution. Now, we don't have a particular record of what Jesus is talking about here, but we do have records of Pilate's tyranny, of his iron fist, how that any time he even sensed that there was going to be a revolt, that the Roman soldiers would be turned loose on the citizens. Now, the result of that, when that happened, what happened, of course, the end of that was mass death. And what Luke is talking about, what Jesus is talking about here in Luke 13, he's talking about massacre, what they're talking about. And unfortunately, when we hear about that, when we read about that, we contemplate that happened long ago. That's not strange to our ears. We've heard that. We see that. We know what he's talking about there. Las Vegas, Nevada, 58 killed. A nightclub in Orlando, 49. 32, massacred at Virginia Tech University. 27 were killed at Sandy Hook Elementary. We were all stunned and shocked this past November near San Antonio, where 26 people were slaughtered inside of a church building. And then this week, 17 are dead in a school in Parkland, Florida. It's disheartening. It's terrifying. It's scary.
when you think about what's going on there, what kind of world we live in? Why do these things happen,
you think?
What goes on in the mind of the murderers that act this way and commit these horrific acts of slaughter? And of course, when these things occur, we are treated to all kinds, a parade of opinions. We're treated to a parade of panel experts. And we hear everything from it's the guns, of course, it's the video games, it's the lack of mental facilities, it's the lack of policemen. We hear all kinds of things by the experts. But you know what? As people of faith, I want to be like these people in Luke 13. I want to ask what Jesus thinks about it. I mean, I want to know what God thinks about this. And so I want to look at that. I want to know why these things happen. And I want to know why they continue to seem like they keep happening. And I want to know what to do about that. How am I to think about that? Can the Word of God provide some understanding with what's going on out there for me? As a man of faith, as a child of God, as a Christian, how should I think about that? How should I react to that? What should I pray about that? What should be done about that? Now this morning I want you to think about that. What does God's Word do? What does it say? How does it instruct me when it comes to these kind of murderers? What would Jesus tell me about that? Now, on the outset, before we begin to work in the Word of God, I want to be very, pragmatic when I'm about to say. You know, you need to know that even though these events are blown completely out of the water and completely out of proportion, and we just hear so much about it, they are very, 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 very rare. Somebody did the legwork, some guy, and I don't do those things. I'm an ADD man that copies things. But he figured up on any given Sunday morning of these churches in America and how many people were in those church buildings that the odds of you being involved in a mass shooting is 1 in 6,575,000 if you'd be involved in a shooting like that. And the odds really not just in church, but there are a lot, just a little bit less, to be involved in a mass shooting anywhere. Alright? So these occasions are very, very rare. Okay. Alright, the odds of being killed in a car accident are 1 in 7,820. So while everybody's concerned about these mass shootings, then we get in the car and we drive around with a seatbelt unbuckled, that makes much sense. But we worry about things like this as they happen because we see them, they're eye-opening events. And the news matches out on them. And we're just flooded with it. Now I could tell you that even though these are very rare events that happen, that you should feel safe here. This church, this congregation, here, has taken some security precautions. We're going to take some more security precautions. And this isn't the time and place to discuss that. If you got questions about that, ask the elders. You should feel safe here. Alright, and so measures are being taken that will happen. Alright, even though the chances are very rare, we're going to take care of that. In fact, you should not just feel safe here. You should feel safe just about everywhere you go nowadays as compared to yesterday because homicides are down, murder rates are down all over the country, everywhere you go. But then you turn on the TV and hear somebody just slaughtering people with an AK-47. And then you don't feel safe. And you don't feel secure. You feel frightened and all of that. But what did Jesus say that would calm our hearts? I mean, really, I mean, when you think about that, and that's what we want. Turn your Bible to John chapter 8. Let's begin the Word of God in John chapter 8. Maybe sort out some of this, and maybe sort out and get some kind of understanding. Jesus here says something I think enormously important about how that, and maybe change our view about mass murder. Look at verse 44. He says, "You are of your father, the devil. And you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. Wherever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature. For he is a liar." John says he's the father of lies. Now, this actually testifies the reality of who? The devil. And the reality of evil itself. That's what he's talking about. These things are satanic. These things are evil, and this testifies that. We need to have an understanding of that. We need to have an understanding of where this stuff comes from in order for us to have a biblical concept of what's going on in our world. Now, I want you to think about what Jesus just said. I want to pair what Jesus just said, what we just read. Look at Mark. Mark chapter 7. These two verses go together, really. Notice what he says, verse 21. Mark 7, verse 21. Well, really, let's just do verse 20 while we're there. He says, that which proceeds out of the man, that is which defiles the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed the evil thoughts, fornication, theft, murders, adultery. All right, now think about that. Got all kinds of explanations about what's going on out there. But when you look at what the Bible says, Jesus gets to the bottom of things here. He says the bottom of all this is, we're talking about the heart. And when you've got a heart that's sick with sin, this is what's going to happen. He's sick with sin, the deception of sin, therewith proceeds these murders. Now these things go together. They help us understand in our world what happens? The devil tells lies. In our world, the devil tells lies. People believe those lies. And people believe those lies. Those lies go in their heart. And they begin to believe the lies of the devil. And as a result of that, what happens? Sin, murder, all these things happen. And really, that's true in everybody's life. Not just murder's life. That's true in your life. That's true in my life. When I sin, what do? I believe what the devil tells me. Hey, this way comes. Hey, you're going to be saved. Hey, this is a good choice. And what do? You do that. You believe the lie. And so we all fall into that. And in most cases, certainly horrific sins as murder. This is what happens. So someone says, how can such a thing happen? How does this happen? Well, you know what? I'm not talking about somebody that's not responsible for their own self. Not somebody that is deranged or doesn't know right from wrong. Not responsible for their conduct. I'm talking about somebody, and these passages are talking about somebody, that chooses, that makes a conscious choice to do something. What makes them make that choice? What? Look, you ask Jesus, he'll tell you it's the devil. He's a liar. He's told you a lie. He's a murderer. He's been a murderer from the beginning. Jesus tells you that folks who decide to do that have made that conscious choice in their heart when somebody murdered somebody else. They believe the lie that the devil told them. That's the answer. Now, we're going to hear forever, oh, there was something wrong, how he was raised. Oh, it's the guns. Oh, it's society's fault. All of that. Jesus says the real reason behind that murder. Look at it. Jesus says it's called the devil. It's because of the devil. It's because of the lies that the devil says. And it's because you choose to believe those lies. That's where Jesus is at. In fact, you know, I look at that. That's one of the key reasons I'm preaching this morning. I'll tell you what, there's a lot of people that believe lies. That believes, I know why this guy did that. I know what's going on out. And really, I just want us to look at from the Bible. There's a lot of distortion about reality. Reality is such a great concept. A lot of people are believing lies that the media is pumping in about why such things happen. Folks, we've got to get a grip on this. We've got to realize why these things happen. We need to speak and know the truth about why these things happen. We need to expose the lies of the devil. We need to expose what's going on. What kind of lies do you think out there? What kind of lies do you think the people are buying? Well, I'll tell you one of the lies I believe people are buying, and that is that there's no right or wrong. Did you know that? That there is no absolute right now. And that's being taught, that's being preached, that's being lied about out there. All over our country, there's no right or wrong. Look at John 18. Read about Jesus and Pilate going back and forth. And I'm going to tell you something. Pilate is a man that's ahead of his time. Now, I'm telling you, 2,000 years ahead of his time, this is a man that would have fit perfectly in our society today. Now, Jesus, by the way, he's killed. He stands before Pilate. Therefore, Pilate said to him, so you're a king? Jesus says, you say correctly, I'm a king. For this, he said, the reason I was born, for this I have come into the world, so to testify the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Pilate said to him, "What is truth? What's truth? You mean to tell me there's a truth? There's an absolute truth? You mean to tell me there's an absolute wrong? Absolutely. Our society is pushing back on that and have been pushing back on that forever. They have other ideas now. Wait a minute now. No, don't you judge me on what I believe the truth is. Over on the website says this. Truth is about how we feel and what is real for us. Truth's not about being right anymore. No. No, we can't do that. We need to change the grading system so little Johnny won't even think he's wrong. We can't do that." So, and again, that's the most common quoted verse in the Bible now. Don't you judge me. Don't you judge on what I decided right or wrong in. Then why are we surprised? Why are we surprised when somebody decides in our world there's no right or wrong, and I'm just going to do whatever I want to do, and I'm going to commit this horrendous crime and inflict pain and suffering on people? Why are we surprised when we live in the society that we did that bought the lie that there's no right or wrong, and then somebody does that? Oh, I don't get it. I don't understand why somebody would do that. I'll tell you what, they bought the lie. Now, I'm certainly not saying that people are going around telling us it's okay to murder. But we no longer live in a world, we no longer live in a society that recognizes, that respects absolute right or wrong. We just don't. And that's been going on for a long time. And in fact, it's a big part of really moving away from absolute that the Word of God says. It's a big part of moving away from the Bible. It's a big part of moving away from God. Because in God's Word, they're all absolute. They're absolutely right or wrong. And the result of that is what's happening. There's been an erosion in faith or in the faith of what the Bible says. Nobody has faith in this book. Nobody has faith in God anymore. That's the choice that's been made. That's the lie that the devil is perpetually out there letting people thought it. People believe it. An example in that is, how long have we been preaching and teaching and hearing from everybody? No hell. There's no hell, don't you know? God's too loving to send anyone to hell, don't you know? Have you thought about this? Hebrews, that's right. What Hebrew writer says? Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. Inasmuch what? Inasmuch as this, you're going to die one time. We don't believe that, don't we? We're going to die one. What happens after that? He says the judgment. People don't believe that. People don't believe that. John Lennon said, imagine there's no heaven. Easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us only sky. You'll never sing that song the same again. You believe that lie? You believe John Lennon's lie? That there's no hell? How folks have bought that. Folks believe that. If people believe that when you die, you're not going to be judged. If people believe that when you die, you're not going to be held accountable. If people believe that when you die, you're not going to have to give an account for what to do in this world. Why don't you do whatever you want? People have belonged. If I'm not going to be punished for what I do wrong and don't make it right, you think about that lie. You think about what kind of crime, you think about what kind of behavior that leads to. About that. Another lie as well. I think another lie today. You know what we're told? We're told the lie that men, you know what, we're not really different than women. No, you know that. We're not. We're just not. Gender roles are fluid. I don't know if that's the right word or not. But I'm willing to guess, as I'm going through this list of lies, that probably you never thought I'd be talking about gender roles when it comes to mass murder. But I want you to think about it, men. When you were growing up, men, what did that tell you, men? Don't ever hit a girl. Men do not hit women. That's right, Graham. You don't hit her. I've seen that, Graham. All right. We're all taught the same thing. We're all taught the same thing. Men don't hit women. Whenever I marry somebody and they marry you, I say that in advance. I make the man say that. I make the man promise not to lay a hand on her to hurt her. We recognize that. We know that. I believe that that's something that is in every man. You don't get a woman. You just don't do that. I say that in the Bible. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. So not to hurt a woman, but really to protect
heard. All right? And I think Peter is keenly aware that we are physically stronger than women, and that means that what? We don't take advantage of women. Look at chapter 3, verse 7. He says, you husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way as what? Someone weaker. Someone weaker, since she's a woman, go along as your fellow heir of grace of life, so that your prayers won't be hindered. Peter recognized that physically a woman is weaker than a man. And men are called to what? Sacrifice themselves to protect a woman. You don't believe that? Look at Ephesians 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Paul says, husband, love your wife, just as Christ also loved the church, gave himself for her. What love that is. Look at verse 28. So, husband, you ought to love their own wife as how? Their own body. He who loves his wife, Paul says, loves himself. What we see in Scripture again and again and again is men called up to be men. And how we ought to treat women. The real man does what? He protects women. You know, a lot of times in Scripture, remember Barak, remember that guy? He was called up to lead God's army, and he didn't do it. And so a woman did it, and there was shame, and there was cowardice. A lot of times, there's examples, there's principles talked about different kings and different kingdoms in Scripture, and where they usurp authority, they maybe take the power by assassination, and they go into these cities and these countries, and they march in, and the Bible tells us that they killed even women in the cities, and a lot of times, that is a reference of how despicable and how murderous they are, because that's just something you don't do. That's how wicked these men are. That they would even kill women. They took their lives. Think about that. That's the society we live in today. I'm going to tell you something. We live in a society that's lost touch with real manhood. With what a real man needs to be. To have that vow, to have that honor, to have courage to protect the weak, the innocent, the elderly, and in this case, especially the women. But our society is so confused today, we don't even know what bathroom to use. How pitiful that is. But that's what it's up to. That's the point it is. And we've been fed that lie. And people are believing that lie. Remember the Titanic movie? The boat was singing, just sinking. I hate it when you watch movies and know what's going to happen. The boat sank, spoiler alert. Anyway, our society today is so confused. The Titanic. There's a scene in the Titanic where this British sailor, where the men are, they're wrestling the boat. The rest of the lifeboats, a big pack of men swarm the lifeboat. And the guy keeps a pistol up in the air. Back, back, back. Get back. Women and children first. Okay? Now, I want to tell you something. That never happened in the real Titanic. That only happened in the movie. In the real sinking of the Titanic, men calmly held women's hands and loaded them in the lifeboat. And children, calmly. And there are a lot of those lifeboats that did leave, swing back and forth and go down to the water, half empty. They were all full of women, and the women pleading with their husbands, their children pleading to their dad, please come, jump in. That happened. No, not going to do that. That's how real men act. Real men act with integrity. Real men act with honor. And the guy, the director, I'm the king of the world here, they asked him about that scene. They asked, why'd you make that up? Why'd you make it up like they're all coming to the boat and they're going to get in? Why'd you make that up? And he said, if I told it like it really happened, nobody today would believe it. Isn't that the truth? Why would nobody today believe that men acted that way? Because we have been sold down the road and told a lie. That's the world we live in. We're confused about what it means to be a real man. Our society is confused. That men don't understand manhood how to act. So we end up with somebody that acts the very opposite and does what? Instead of protecting women, kill women. Shoot women. It's a lie. I think that's especially true in the world we live in. It's all about being famous, don't you know? Turn to Genesis chapter 4. Here's an illustration, I think, of how insane, that we might overlook sometimes. This is chapter 4, verse 23. Lamech, Adam and Zillah, that's his wife, listen to my voice, Lamech says. You wives of Lamech, give heed to my speech, for I have killed a man
for wounding me. And a boy for striking me. Ten is avenged sevenfold, and Lamech 77-fold. I murdered somebody! Look at me! No, I killed him. I'll tell you what, you think Cain did a number? Look at what I did! I'm famous! I killed somebody! You know, CNN came on the scene in the early 80s. 24 out of 7 days a week news. Nobody dreams. What in the world can you talk about? 24-7 when it comes to news, you know? Man, Walter Cronkite, he did 20 minutes. You know what I mean? Back then, you know, that was crazy. So if you've got news 24-7, you know what? You've got to talk about something. And when an event happens, you talk that to death. And when it happens to somebody in particular, they get interviewed over and over and over again. And you learn about in depth their life. You don't even know this guy yesterday. Now you know everything about him in depth, in detail, to the point you're just sick to hear about. So that's what happens with the 24-hour news network. And so, what's the people's goal? What happens? These guys end up being famous. We know everything about them. And really, 2012, scientific study by Scientific American, here it is. A desire for fame solely for the sake of being famous was the most popular future goal among 10 to 12 year olds. I want to be famous. I want everybody to know who I am. I want to be on the news. All we know about mass murderers, they're losers. That's what we know about mass murderers. They're losers. They don't have a social life. They don't have a job. They don't have a wife. They don't have social skills. They don't have a girlfriend. Everything that says, hey, set some integrity and be famous the way you should, they don't. So you know what? You know what stirs in that mind, the lie that they get told? Hey, nobody knows me. They don't know how great I am. And in that begins what? Hey, detestable way, an attitude toward you. You're going to know how famous I am. You're going to know how great I am. 1 John chapter 3. That begins to feed all kinds of bad things come out of that. Look at verse 15. Everyone who hates his brother is what? A murderer. Now go with that. Look at James chapter 4 verse 2. You love and do not have. You love and do not have. So you commit murder. What? I know what I want. I want to be famous. Everybody's going to know my name. People keep me from that. I hate them. You know, if I do something really bad, the media will make me famous. Everybody will know who I am. And that'll show them. Andy Langford. I like what he says. He's a professor. He says he's written about mass murders. He says, it is hard to quantify it, but I have been struck by research that being famous is one of this generation's most important goals. It seems like Americans are growing in their desire for fame. There is no doubt. There is an association between media coverage and these offenders' debt and the likelihood that they will ask. The media has become a willing handmaiden in all this. Did you know that? Have you thought about that, to these twisted and evil designs? And they cover it in such excruciating detail and feed you all this, everything about the life of the murderer and all that. Look, I'm nobody, but I could be somebody. I'm going to be somebody. That's a lie. That's a lie that's believed by those that are doing that. It feeds on selfishness. It feeds on hate. And the crime of mass murder is a result many times. You know, I'm looking at these lies, and I know that there could be a lot more added. But what I've said, I hope gives you a good start, a good idea of how maybe we need to look at these things from a biblical perspective. We need to think about these things, about how God would approach it. And just briefly, we've seen that individuals are held accountable for their actions, and they're responsible for that. And we see the result of the lie, do not, and the delusion. Because the lies that have been fed and believed by these people, that have been fed by the devil, causes people to do unthinkable things, no doubt about it. And truthfully, what it really means to you and I is what? I'm not surprised, are you?
As a Christian, I'm not surprised
what goes on in the world. Are you?
You're shocked by what goes on in the world?
2 Timothy chapter 4.
Notice Paul addresses that. We know that it's the work of the devil. And we know what happens when people believe the lies of the devil. But Paul talks about it a little bit. Verse 3. He says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers and according to their own desires. Now we read that a lot as though, in effect, to the doctrines of men changing the way the Lord wants us to worship and honor and serve Him. That's true. That all changes when men decide what they want when it comes to religion. But not only that, what happens when you get that going on? Besides that, it means other things. If we start believing lies, if people start believing lies, what do you get? You get death. You get murder. You get mayhem. And that's the world that we live in. And we know that. Christians know exactly what's happening when all this is happening. Now, the bad news of that is, when you think about everything that's going on out there, and we expect that because we recognize what the Bible says about that. It's not super encouraging. Really, it's bad news, isn't it? Why? Why is it bad news? Because it's not going to change. How are we going to stop all this, you know? When's this going to end? It won't. It's going to keep on happening. Because people are going to keep on believing the lies of the devil, and they take that into their heart, and this is going to be the result. Oh, we've got to do something. You're not going to stop this until folks stop believing the lies of the devil. Well, what are we going to do about it? What's the answer to that? Think about that. Turn back to the original text, Luke 13. Let's see what Jesus said about mass murder. That happened in really their midst. Do you notice that Jesus says, when you look at that, go ahead and read that again. Now, the same occasion, there was some present reported to him about the Galileans. There's their blood. Their blood, Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus says then, do you not suppose these Galileans were greater sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this fate? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you all likewise perish. Well, you know, Jesus immediately says the issue. You know, Lord, why do you think that happened? Why did this have to happen to them? Well, these folks are good folks. They're going to worship. How could God let this happen? And really, that's the question. Jesus doesn't talk about that. Jesus doesn't give an answer for that. If they're looking for an answer for why this happened, they didn't get one. Job doesn't get one. You and I won't get one either. We won't get one. When we ask God why this happened, we won't get one. Why? There's a lot going on in there. Could God stop this mass murder? Certainly he could. But there's a lot that goes into it. Why? There's free will. There's the sovereignty of God. There's the devil. There's what he does. There's all those things. There's a lot of factors that go into that. You and I don't understand why it happened. God does. And by faith, I'll accept that. I know that. And by the way, if you're inclined to thank these folks, we're somehow greater sinners. How about the party animals at Vegas, you know, the big concert? All those guys are sinners. They were all sinners. Huh? And you start thinking that way. How about the kids in the first grade at Sandyhood, huh? Can't do that. You don't think that way. Jesus says, no, it's not because there were sinners. Jesus cut that off. He says, no, it's not because there were sinners. It's because of he doesn't say it. Jesus doesn't say it. What he says is, you need to quit speculating. You need to quit beating your head against the wall wondering why this happened. That's basically what he says. You want to talk about something that calms your heart when all this goes on? Stop asking why. Stop asking why. When something like this happens, stop asking why. That's what Jesus says. You don't need to ask why. And I think a lot of times, you know why we do that? You know why we ask why? And we want an answer. And this can never happen. I think it takes us away when we have those kind of conversations. I think it takes us away from the distraction. We want to be distracted. What's Jesus' main point in Luke 13? What do people need to do is repent. In fact, he says that twice, verse 5. What happens when this kind of mass shooting happens? Oh, there's all kinds of stuff said, outrage, there's a lot of anger. People get on Facebook and social media. Oh, it just goes nuts out there. We're all focused on what happened. Now, I know there's a place for sympathy, and there's a place for comfort. And rightly so, we need to be worried about that. We need to do that. And I wonder sometimes, though, if this distraction that we have, and we do all that, if this distraction is to keep us from focusing on ourselves.
It's not justified what we do because what commands us to work. So
that's correct. That's right.
We do what we do because look what happens.
We do what we do because look what happens. That's right.
No, we can do what we do.
Yes, we do.
Look what happened.
Look what happened.
It's not so that's bad. Right. We are not so bad.
We are not so bad. You see what? I think one of the distractions on that is what you've been there. What if you'd have been there? What if you got shot? Go ahead and think about that. So we talk about everything but that. What's your relationship with God? And Jesus does here what we need to do. Jesus focuses on you. On you repent. How's your life? And that's really what Jesus does. And you have to say, it doesn't matter about what you ask Jesus. It doesn't matter when you ask him, what the subject is, how you talk, what you're talking about. Jesus always goes to what? Repentance? Eternity? Paul was at Luke 12, the guy runs up and says, hey man, me and my brother are fighting over inheritance, can you work that out for us? And Jesus says, wait a minute, you need to be rich to God. And then Lazarus' brother, or sister comes up, man, if you'd been here, you could have saved today. If you wasn't here for all this happened, Jesus ends up talking about what? The resurrection of life. Do you believe that I'm the resurrection of life? Every instance in the Bible when you look at that, Jesus always pushing people to do what? Take out their own soul. Jesus is pushing to for you to answer that question. What am I going to spend eternity? What am I going to do when I die? Where am I going to go when I die? That's what Jesus said. So a bunch of folks come up and say, what about this mass murder? What about this? Hey, let's talk about killing. Jesus says, I want to talk about you. He says, I want to talk about the condition of your soul. That's what needs to be talked about. And the reason Jesus does this kind of thing is why? I'm going to take something. There's a lot worse things than being shot. That's Jesus' point. Jesus twice in this case, what? Verse 3, you're okay. You're okay. Verse 4, he talks about a tower, a building falling. And then again, verse 5, he says, you're going to perish. But when Jesus says you don't perish, if you don't repent, you're going to perish, Jesus isn't talking about physical death. Isn't it a good thing that if you don't repent, if you breathe your last until over dead, how many people in here kill over in the hallway? Huh? He's not talking about physical death. He's talking about spiritual death. That's what Jesus is talking about. Perish your spiritual death. Now in a world that we live in that loves the world, loves everything about the world, hanging on to everything that the world has to offer, what's the worst thing that can happen? You die. Why? Oh man, I won't get to enjoy the world. I won't get to be here. That's the worst thing that can happen to you. If you die, Jesus says that's not the worst thing that happens. Jesus says the worst thing that can happen to you. Jesus says the worst thing that happened to you is if you step into eternity and you're not prepared to meet God. That's what Jesus says. Jesus says when you die, it could be greater. You could be with God and Him in heaven forever. No more pain, no more sorrow, no more tears, all those things. And as a result of all that, you get a crown of life. Jesus says when you die, it'd be greater. And Jesus also says if you die, it can be the worst thing that ever happened. To die in your life is common. So think about that common. If you don't repent, when death comes, that's just the beginning of things going to get worse and worse for you. There's no comfort. There's no comfort ever spoken. There is something worse than being shot. Dying without Jesus Christ. Which I think is why Luke 13 is clear. You know, the world really needs Jesus. You know, Jesus, he's the one to tell us about the devil. He's the one to tell us about the lies. He's the one to tell us about all the deception. He's the one to tell us where all this murder comes from. It's Jesus that calls you to look at yourself, to take a look at your own circumstances, to think about your relationship with God. It's Jesus that calls you to do that. It's Jesus that tells you where murder comes from the heart. And it's Jesus that tells you that you need to turn to God with true repentance. Who's got the answer? Huh? Politician? The lobbyist? Huh? How about the actors? All those, are they the one who has the answer to all this? No. What's the answer? Jesus is the answer. Jesus Christ is the answer to everything we talk about today. I want to tell you something, friend. Your friends don't know this. Your relatives don't know this. Your neighbors don't know this. You know. You know this. They don't know about Jesus. They don't know anything we teach you. They don't know what Jesus Christ can do for their life as they live in this world and what He does for eternity. Guess what we need to be doing? We need to be telling people about Jesus. Because the darker this world gets, the more and more this world needs the blessed light of our Savior Jesus Christ. Let's get the phone book back. I know there's a lot there to chew on. There's a lot to reflect on. But I'll tell you what, understanding the truth of where all this comes from, I think it helps us as Christians. Exactly what we ought to be doing in these difficult times. All this does, I believe, is drive us to Jesus. He alone is the truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And He alone helps us to understand wickedness. He alone helps us understand this tragedy. The problem is the devil. The problem is the lie. The problem is the deception. And the answer, friends and brethren, is Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." You never step into the light. You see the light. You recognize that Jesus is the light. You change your life today. You can become a Christian and follow Jesus Christ. And remember, there's a lot worse things than being shot and killed. A lot worse things. You step into eternity, meet your faith, judge. Please come. That's good. We're standing up.